Glory to God. You know, that scripture that Trey was reading, look at that again in Ephesians. This is my favorite thing. You know, where did you stop at, Pastor Trey? Stopped at 21. Look in verse 22 in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things. Isn't that great? What are the next three words? To the church. Isn't that something? It's not that he retained that all to himself. He gave all of that to the church. Hallelujah. Let that sink in. A lot of people just overlook those three little words. It is to us. Amen. He gave him to us. So, let's go ahead and read some verses and then I'll pray, shall we? Let's go ahead and go to Galatians. And we're going to look at chapter 3, verse 26. And then we're going to read through chapter 4, verse 7. Galatians 3, 26 through 4, verse 7. Are you with me? So it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the appointed time by the Father. Verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Father, I just thank you for your word, Lord. Father, I just give you all the praise and all the glory that you truly are God Most High. And that, Father, you dwell in us. That you've put your Spirit in us. That we can call you Father. Lord, I ask that the revelation of this truth would be so profound in each and every individual's life that hears my voice, Lord. That, Father, that we would awake to righteousness, who we truly are in you. That no longer the dominion of this world, the elements and principles of this world, Father, would have authority over us. But that we, Father, would be able to walk as sons of God. Whether they be male or female, in the spirit there is neither. Jew or Greek, in the spirit there is neither. There is only sons of God in the Spirit, Lord. So, Father, I just ask that by your word, that our eyes would be open, that our ears would be open, that our hearts would be alert to the truth that you want to share today, Father. That we would walk in the manifestation of your glory in our days on this world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Saints, I want to let you know that it is a new day in the Spirit. It is a new day in the Spirit. The Lord is moving. He does things in times and in seasons. And we had the time of the Garden of Eden. And then we had the time of the law. And now we're under the time of grace. Well, I tell you, there is a new time coming of the time of the glory of God manifesting in the saints. This is the next thing that we will see truly operating in the body of Christ. The power of God is returning to the church in a way that it's never been before. That every person that can hear my voice, every person that can read their Bible, every person that can receive from the Spirit of God is going to walk in that glory and that power. And it's not because we're so great. It's not because we're so learned. It's not because we're born into some royalty. It is because of the Spirit of God that dwells in us. God has vowed that His glory shall fill this world. And His glory is in His saints. That's where it is. And you are of that caliber. You're that person. And I'll tell you the truth. It's the Lord bringing it to pass. He puts it in us both to will and to do for His good pleasure. He puts the desire in us to walk this stuff out. If we just let Him be Himself through us. Amen? All we need to do is just let Him be who He is in us, and He will bring it all to pass. Is that good news? That is really good news, isn't it? So let's go ahead and look at a couple of verses I want to focus on today. Knowing me, I'll probably jump around. So don't believe me when I tell you I'm going to stay in one place. Not even for a second. I try to do it, and it just doesn't work for me. But let's go over to John, the book of John. And in John, I want to focus on some scriptures that is in John chapter 14. But I first want to read John 13, 31 to you. John 13, 31. John 13, 31 really encapsulates so much of what I want to share today. So it says, "So when he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him,'" 32, "'God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately.'" That's a lot of glorifieds back and forth. I want to explain something to you guys that we will see later on in chapter 17 and 16. So many times as Christians, I see people that are wanting God to do something through them. They desire that God will do something through them instead of realizing how much it blesses God to glorify Himself in us. Does that make sense? When God is when we bear fruit, like it says in chapter 15, when we bear fruit, it glorifies God, right? In other words, let me use Pastor Trey, because you all know his son Levi, and if you don't, you need to meet him. Levi glorifies Trey. Because when Levi dresses like Pastor Trey dresses, when Levi plays golf to the capacity that he learned from his father, it glorifies his father. It brings honor to his father that his son is growing up to be just like him, right? So God does the same thing through us. See, I was of the persuasion that I needed to be cleaner, that I needed to know the word better, that I needed to be pleasing to God by not having sin in my life. All those things are true, but they're not the component that's important. The component that's important is that I let God be God in me. I let Him be Himself in me instead of me having to be the one that He uses. If I took a cup of water, see this imaginary cup of water? Cool, clean, crisp water. And I took this cup of water that's only half full. And I took this cup of water that's half full. They're two cups of water, right? They're both water, but they're two cups of water. If I took this cup and poured it into that one, what would it be? One cup of water, wouldn't it? The two became one, right? So which one was more important than the other one? Neither one was important. It's the fact that they're both one, right? That's what's important, that they're one. The secret is to not separate ourselves from God. The world would like you to think that you're separate from Him, and you're not. We are one with Him. Doesn't it say that? Let's look in John 17 real quick. So looking in John chapter 17, verse 22. Let's do this one. Let's go to 11. Let's go to verse 11. I like that one. Are you with me? Chapter 17, verse 11. This is an exercise in focus, how well you can focus. Isn't that right? You know, I'm amazed at how well mothers can focus when crying babies are in the very room they're in. They can, like, tune it out. They're listening to hear if there's an emergency, but if there isn't an emergency, it's just crying. They're fine. You know that? To me, who hasn't had children, they're not fine. They're crying. They're distracting. But a mother can do that, you know, because she's around it all the time. So this is an exercise for us to be focused. Amen. Verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world. This is Jesus talking. But these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Isn't that what he says? Isn't that what he says? That's his desire. Listen, how is he keeping us, according to that verse? In his name. By his name. He's keeping us by his name. Not by your name. By his name. So what does it mean? Let's think about this, because sometimes we just read right over the top of this stuff and just keep on going. Let's stop, let's think about it, and let it settle down inside of us to where it becomes who we are. If I am kept in God's name, then to whom do I belong? I belong to God, right? In fact, it even says that in 1 Corinthians that we are not our own. We were bought with a price, right? We belong to the Lord, that our body is not our own, that our body and our spirit belongs to the Lord, right? So we're His property, right? How do you think God takes care of His property? Do you think He just casts it aside, let it get all worn? He takes good care of His stuff, doesn't He? He takes very good care of His stuff. And He is the one to whom we belong. When we belong to the Lord, do you know what? He's going to see that we're successful. The thing that we need to learn how to do as a body of Christ to really see the glory of God start really erupting in this body is to not separate ourselves from God. To not do that. Let's go back a couple chapters to chapter 14. I want to read something with you. We'll come back to 17. I want to read chapter 14, verse 7 through 21. Are you with me? Chapter 14, we're going to read 14 verses, 7 through 21. So I'm going to begin. This is Jesus talking. He's with His disciples. And Philip, well, we'll just let Philip speak for himself. It says this: If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. Philip's standing there and he says, Lord, show us the Father. It is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him. In other words, he's saying, Lord, if you'll just show us the Father, that'll be good enough. Just show us the Father, okay? And he says, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Or how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Stop. Do you believe Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in Jesus? We say that here. But do you really believe that He was with Him? So the Father was actually in Jesus, right? We believe that, right? Let me ask, how about on the cross? Was the Father on the cross in Jesus? He never left Him, did He? not even at death. Is there any chance he'd leave you or me? Let's keep going. Verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Who did the works? The Father who dwells in Jesus. Not Jesus, right? But the two glasses of water are one glass of water now, right? So it's kind of hard to separate which was the glass on the left and which was the glass on the right, because now they're one glass, right? It says God is one. So it doesn't matter if it was the Father or if it was Jesus, because they are one. It only matters if they're not one, who did it. Are you with me? This is important. It only matters who did it if we're not one with him. If we're one with him, it doesn't matter if I did it or he did it. Why? Because we're the same one. Really? We read these words in the Bible. Am I making this up? This is really important. This is really important. Something in our thinking has to click over here. This is really important to see the glory of God really start manifesting in the church. I can't tell you how many people, I'm in verse 11. I can't tell you how many people I have met that pray for people and are asking God to heal them. Okay? Let's just take this into a natural experience. I'm over here working on my motorcycle. I have a new motorcycle. I'm over here working on my motorcycle. You can see it in the front of the building. I'm over here working on my motorcycle, okay? It's not broken, just tuning it up a bit. And I'm over here working on it, and I say this, Robert, you need to help me. This bolt is a little bit too tight for me. Robert, I need you to get in there and use your strength and help me with this bolt. And if you were standing next to me and you heard me doing that, you would think what? Wouldn't you think I'm crazy? Why? Because I'm asking myself to help me. Wouldn't you consider me insane if I was going around going, Robert, we got to drive home now. You do remember how to drive a car now, right? Robert, you do know where your key is, right? So that I can make it all the way home, right? You didn't leave me somewhere that I'm going to be stranded and not be able to get home in my car, right? You're with me, Robert, right? Robert, are you here? Robert, I don't hear you talking. Robert, are you with me? You would think I was insane, right? Why? Because I'm one person. How can I be talking to myself as if I'm two people? Hear me, people. This is important. Jesus and the Father were one person. We, in our minds, because we have feelings and experiences, separate ourselves from God, expecting God out here to do something through me in this world. Are you with me? There is no separation. Actually, there is. There is, but there isn't. And it's a weird little thing, and don't ask me to be able to truly explain it clearly, but I'll give you an example. Is the Father in Jesus? All the time, right? So that's a given, right? But he said, I'm going to my Father who is greater than me. Didn't he say that? He said he's leaving now and he's going to the Father. In John here, we're going to read it, or we might read it, it's there. He's going to go to the Father, and that we should be excited that he's going to go to the Father, because then we can do greater things than him, because he's going to the Father, right? Also on the Mount of Transfiguration, remember Jesus was there, God was with Jesus, he never left him, never forsaked him, but yet this dark cloud came and the Father was in the cloud speaking to him, right? Also, at the baptism, this is my beloved son. Everybody heard the words from outside of him. So there is this dynamic that God is outside of us, but he's still in us at the same time. Okay? Isn't that wild? How can we understand that? It's crazy. You want an easy way to understand it? Here's a very simple way to understand it. Is it oversimplified? Yes. Don't criticize my example. It's the best one I got, all right? If you got a better one, share it. This is air all around me. It is outside of me, isn't it? It's out there, and I'm here. I'm in the air, aren't I? I don't mean in the air. I mean, I'm in air. Aren't you? You better be. You won't be with us long if you're not. You need to be in the air, okay? So, but then the air is in me, isn't it? Because it's only the air that's in me that gives me life. There's air everywhere on this planet. But it's only the air that's in me gives me life. The air that's in you gives you life. We share the air. It's one air. One atmosphere, right? We all share the same air. There's not my air and your, oh, the air's with me, but it's not with you. It's not like that, is it? The air's with us all. It's the same air. We are one in the air, aren't we? Amen. We're all together in the one air. Spirit and air, they use that correlation so we can kind of understand that. God is in us, but we are in God at the same time, right? The Spirit of God is in you, operating through you, but He's also with us all, right? So let me ask you this. Does the air only come in me when I act right? Does the air only come in me when I read my Bible enough? Does the air only come in me when I give and I'm generous? Does the air come in me if I sin? And the air still comes in me? How is that possible? I'm not worthy of the air. I am not worthy of this air. Isn't that silly for me to say that? But yet people do that with the Spirit of God. They do that with the Spirit of God. We gotta stop all that nonsense. Amen. Listen, God is holy. God is majesty. God deserves all honor and all praise. All glory belongs to Him. That's not a question. And because He is that, we drop away everything that's of this world. Sin, lust, selfishness, lying to one another, misrepresenting the truth to one another. We lay all that stuff down because we know who He is. And since we know Him, we want to be like Him. So we purify ourselves of these things that are not of Him. Okay, I'm not talking about that at all. That's a given, but it only comes by relationship. It's the only way it comes. It doesn't come by you exerting effort to be pure or holy. It just doesn't work that way. Let's look at something real quick. Let's go over. I stopped in verse 11. Let me finish so that I can honor my word. Verse 11 of chapter 14. We're going to go down through 21 if I can get the whole way. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the sakes of the works themselves. We'll get to that. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Why? Because I go to my Father. 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, who's going to do it? He says, I will do it. Because He and the Father are one, right? So there's no difference between if Jesus says, I'm going to do it, or if He says, the Father's going to do it. I can show you scriptures, if we have time, where Jesus says, I'm going to do it, but then He says, the Father's going to do it. In fact, you probably know it is. When it comes to sending the Holy Spirit, remember that? Well, we'll just get there. I'll just show you. This is so good, you guys. I really want this to sink in, if you can let it sink in. This is really powerful stuff. Verse 14 again, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, you're not going to do it. I'm going to do it, the Lord is saying, right? Where's the Lord at? We read it in the first things. He placed his Spirit where? In us. So if the Father and Jesus are one and they are in us and we are one with him, then there's one. Amen. There's not three or four. There's one. One. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? How can that possibly be true? I got to tell you, that's a conundrum. I got to tell you, the devil has beat the snot out of people by saying you're two. And you're not allowed to think that you're one with him. That's arrogance. That's blasphemy. That's who do you think you are to say those things? And the devil truly makes us and presses us and pushes on us and has people confront us so that we cannot in confidence say this: if you've seen me, you've seen the Lord. The words that I speak, they're not my own. These are the Lord's words that I'm telling you. What I do because he shows me how to do these things. So I do them. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. If you want to know the Lord, come to me. Listen, we need to get to that place in our relationship with him that's comfortable for you to walk in. Or you won't be able to bear the glory. He wants to really shine his glory through us. But we have to separate that I'm here and the Lord's there and he's going to push something into me. It's the Lord is here with me and he's going to glorify himself through me. It glorifies him when I exude his glory. He is greater and magnified the more of him that shines through me. He's magnified by me being glorified. That's got to be okay with you. Listen, it makes him very happy the more you manifest his greatness in your life. The devil wants you to be a match that's not lit. He wants you to have the potential of life without experiencing life. He wants you to be absent from the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. In other words, a relationship with God as God in you.
Amen.
This is not pride. This is not blasphemy. This is the truth that Jesus walked in and they wanted to kill him for that. This is the reason the world will hate us. Because God dwells in us. And the life that we live, we don't live by this natural way of thinking. We live by the Spirit of God. And that this body is only a temporal dwelling place. It's a tent. It's a house. It's a building. It's a vehicle. The real you is eternal. And is just like Jesus. There is no sin in you. In your spirit, there is no sin in you. In heaven, there is no sin in you. And the Lord would like us to operate from that position by faith now, regardless of whether someone videotaped your life, they could see it and scrutinize your life. He wants you to operate from the kingdom of God now. Let's go a little further. So let's go, and I'm just going to start in verse 15 of chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. That used to trip me up, you guys. I said, oh no, another rule, another law. Oh no. Listen, I'm going to make it very simple. Jesus' only commandment is this. And there's two, but there's still one. Love God with everything in you. Every bit of who you are, love God. And love people the same. That's it. That's the only thing he's putting on you. Love God and people. It's that simple. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's love God and love people. If I love Fred, I won't lie to Fred. If I love Fred, I won't steal from Fred. If I love Fred, I won't gossip about Fred. I need a little more love in my life. I'm kidding. Isn't that the truth?
Oh, yeah.
If I love him, I won't harm him. I won't slander him. I won't shame him. I won't think of him less than myself. We're one. He gets the same air I get. I'm no better than him. And God's so good, I get all the air I want. You guys better breathe because I'm going to get all I want. I'm going to get more. I'm going to get all the air in this room. Am I going to exhaust the air? Why? God made this world to make as much as I want. I can have all the air I want. And so can you. Hear my words. Let them sink in. All the power of God you want to operate in is available to you and to me. It's not God divvying out the oxygen. It's all here. The Spirit of God has been poured out on all flesh. He's here. All you want. What we need to do is I need to lay down anything that restricts me from being able to be in the air. So if I'm walking around like this, I won't be able to do this very long because right? Stop doing that. Stop doing things that hurt you. That's why we don't sin. That's why we don't murder. That's why we don't lie. It hurts us. That's why we don't do it. Are you with me?
Amen.
Moving right along. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Okay, so who's giving us the helper? I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. The Father's going to give you a helper, right? That he may abide with you forever. No, that he may abide with you when you act right. That he may abide with you if you stay out of sin. Oh, if you don't deliberately sin. If you read your Bible enough. If you pray. No, forever. God never takes the oxygen away from us, no matter how we are. The Holy Spirit's been poured out here, no matter what, he's here. It's a matter of whether you or I are going to operate by him, right? Going right along. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be where? In you. The Holy Spirit dwells with us and will be in us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of who? Jesus Christ. It's Jesus' Spirit. So Jesus was there in the Spirit in one man, and he's going to go to the Father so that he can release the Holy Spirit to come here so that he can be with all of us at the same time. Right? I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So he's not going to leave us all alone, fending for ourselves. He's going to come. He is. The Holy Spirit's with us now. I will, 19, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You will live also. And the day, and that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Jesus in the Father, and he's in us, and we're in him. In the Father. He who has my commandments and keeps them, which is to love people and love God, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and what? Manifest myself to him. Manifest myself to him. The Father was manifested through Jesus. How? By the works that he did, right? That's how we knew the Father was with Jesus, because of all the works that he did. Jesus will manifest himself to us also if we just let him be Jesus. Hey. Let me give you an example. This has more meaning to me than it ever has before. Listen, it's like peeling an onion. It's layers of revelation, okay? Not everybody's at the same spot. We're all at different areas of being able to believe who we are in Christ. Okay? It just takes time to get things to go deeper and deeper. But the Holy Spirit knows. Do you know these words have been in the Bible since the Bible was written? But as us in general start growing in revelation and in knowledge, we can handle truths that we couldn't handle before. Right? And so as a congregation and as a people on this planet, we're getting to the place now to where God is going to be able to really shine his glory out of us. really be able to, we can walk in his power. But he has to remove the condemnation and the shame, the guilt and the disqualifications, the things that we think stop us from being able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Is the Jesus and the Father one? If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, right? Is Jesus and the Father in me? So if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus and you've seen the Father, right? So what we do is we separate by the sin consciousness and the condemnation and the shame. Can't handle that. Absolutely cannot handle that. So Jesus came, died on the cross, paid the price for sin to eradicate that whole way of thinking away from us so that we can now walk according to the Spirit of God without condemnation by walking in the Spirit. Are you with me?
Amen.
So now, here's what I had to learn. And I'm still learning it, but I'm further than I once was. When I speak, it's no longer I who speak, but it's the Spirit of God in me. How can I say that? Am I hearing words and I'm repeating the words that I hear? No. Here's how it works. The Holy Spirit's been with me, teaching me, training me, putting a desire in me to go around healing the sick and doing good to those who are oppressed of the devil. That's what he does, right? That's what the Father did through Jesus, right? That's what he did. So what happens is, as I get around that more, the Holy Spirit is teaching me that, training that, building, installing that into me. In other words, Christ is being formed in me now. So now, my identity, myself, the one that I call I or me, because I'm just one person, me, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son, we are one person now. Does that freak you out? It freaked me out. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. How can that be? They're three separate entities, but yet they're one. That's crazy. Explain that. I can't, but it's true. So now it's even worse. Now all three of them that are three but yet one are in me, and now the four are now one. How can that be? I don't know, but it's still true. I need to let it be so. So that mindset of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, of God our Father who built us and knows us through Jesus Christ, now is in me, teaching me, desiring to be himself through me by healing people when I put my hand on them. This is God operating through me. It's not me on my own. Absolutely not. I'm ashamed to even say what my desires were for my future when I was a kid. I desired terrible things as a natural man on the earth with no Spirit of God in me. It was only selfish things I wanted. But now I don't choose those things. That person is dead. It's no longer him who lives now. Now the thoughts that I think, the desires that I have, they're of the Holy Spirit and of Christ. So now it's no longer me who lives, but it's Christ who now lives in me. The way he thinks, the way he behaves is now the way I do it. I gave up my old way of handling life, getting offended at the drop of a hat, feeling like somebody else got more than I got, feeling like I'm not equipped to do the jobs that God has called me to do. I have laid that way of thinking down. And now I just let it be true that if I lay hands on somebody, it's God. It's God. The desire that's now in me is not me. It is the Spirit in me who now desires to heal people. I have to let that be true. I have to shut down my carnal mind. It says in Galatians, you lay down all the things of the flesh. You put them off. I have to put them off. Those feelings, those thoughts, those ideas that, oh, is this going to work? I don't know if it's going to work or it's not going to work. Shut up. Shut up. The Spirit of God is not in that. The Spirit of God says, yes, absolutely, okay. That's what he says. Absolutely. Now I need to let that be true. I have to let that be true. Turn the page. Verse 23. Thank you. I know it's silent in here because this is great stuff and you're just soaking it in. Listen. I don't come with oatmeal. I just don't. I don't come with oatmeal. I come with the good vitamin B, man. Woo! That's it. But listen, we have to get in the Word. We have to let this, like tea, seep into the water. Seep into the water. Seep into the water. Let it just lay there for a while. Okay? This is how you let your roots grow deep. By just taking this in, suspend your judgment, just set it aside for a moment. Don't decide anything about it. Just hear it. And then ask the Lord about it. Look in the Word about it. Just see for yourself. Let it start growing in you so that Christ is being formed in you. Now, I'm not saying the Spirit of God's not in anyone. He's in all of us. But the reality of how we operate, where we're coming from, is it of the Holy Spirit or is it still the old natural person who has the potential of walking in the fullness of God but hasn't experienced it yet because we still do this? We're still separate. It just takes time to let the Holy Spirit and us be of one mind. Amen? So let your roots grow down deep and just take time and let your roots get into the soil and the nutrients come. And the deeper they go and the wider they spread, the more you can handle this stuff. And then when troubles come and situations come and other people come, it may make you bow or bend a little bit, but you're not going anywhere. You're set in the truth. Let's go on. I want to share something with you. So it says, verse 23, and Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. Is there anyone in this room that thinks that you're not the home of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Amen. Good group. Me either. We are the home of God. Right? So if somebody comes up to me and goes, lights are on, but nobody's home. Right? They can't say that about me. Why? Because somebody's home. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Where do they live? They live right here. Everybody, let's do this. Point right here. Says the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit live right here in me. I'm their home. They live here. I like it. I'll let them. Amen. The Lord lives here. He lives here in you. He lives right here in you. So do you need him to come? He's here. He's in you. He's in me. If I'm going around going, where's the air? I need more air. Where's the air? Where's the air? Is there better air over there than over here? No. The air's everywhere. He's here in me. Amen? He's there in you. So, verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. When I go up to pray for people, it's not me that wants to go pray for people. It's the Spirit in me who I have spent so much time with that I have a hard time telling if it's him or me. But now I'm in alignment with him and I want to do the same thing he wants to do. We're in agreement and he wants to go heal people. So guess what? I heal people with him. Did I do it? Did he do it? What does it? There's only one. There's only one, and it's the Lord in me who does it. I no longer live. The way of thinking that was before the Lord occupied me doesn't live here anymore. He's dead. The life that I now live, I live in the mind of Christ. One mind, With me? All right, I want to read this to you. It's actually two things I want to read to you. Let's just jump right on down. We know okay, I already said that. Never mind, let me just go on. Let's go down to chapter 15. I want to read with this, and starting in verse 4, and I want to read through verse 8. No, a little further than that. Are you with me? A lot of reading. Starting in verse 4, chapter 15, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." How many of you know that's true? I've tried it. I can't do it. I'll tell you. I can't heal people without the Holy Spirit. I can't get somebody born again without the Holy Spirit. I can't lay hands on somebody to be baptized in the Holy Spirit without the Holy Spirit. I can't cast out a devil without the Holy Spirit. I can't do anything that's eternal without the Holy Spirit. Neither can you. So thank God we have him. "In him bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." 7, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." How about that one? Whatever we desire will be done for us. Listen, if you're separate, if you're two, you'll go, "Well, you can desire all these terrible things, that you can do this." You mean if you desire these things that hurt people, you still get them done? No. Remember, we're one spirit with the Lord. As long as we're one, whatever we desire, we'll have. Why? Is there anything withheld from the Father? Is there anything withheld from the Father? Is there anything withheld from the Son? Is there anything withheld from the Holy Spirit? No. And if we are one with them, in the same mind as them, of the same vine as them, then whatever they desire in me, through me, as me, it happens, right? Because we're of one mind. Oh, I hope I'm saying this enough different ways that it really is clicking. Going on. Verse 7 again, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for, and it shall be done for you." 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." God is glorified by us bearing fruit. Amen. By us being able to heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, whatever it is. By us doing that, it glorifies God. By us manifesting his glory. So we must not disqualify ourselves or say that the Spirit of God's not in me. Where are you, Lord? I don't feel you. Do you feel air in your lungs? No. I mean, you might be able to, "Oh, I feel that. Yes, I feel that." But you know what? You go about your day. You don't try to feel the air, do you? Do you go, "Air, I want you to lead me today. So I am going to feel the breeze." Okay, which way is the breeze going now? Where are you at now? Where's the air at now? You'd think I was Fruit Loops or just having fun fooling around. The air's everywhere all the time. Listen, there's no lack of people to pray for. You don't need to be led who to pray for. You pray for anyone that has pain in their body, anyone who's sick, anyone who's in bondage, anyone who's being beat up by the devil. You're allowed to set them free. Anyone. Going on. Can we jump over to 17? I want to show you something. We only got a little bit of time left here. I want to show you something in 17. This is very important. It seems like it's just a little sentence placed in there, but I want to dwell on it for the rest of our time while we're here today, okay? And that is this, verse 17. I want to tell you just what's leading up to it. In chapter 17, verse 17 is what I want to focus on. But to get to that, Jesus is praying and saying, what is eternal life? Eternal life is knowing the Father and Jesus Christ. They are eternal life. Do you get that? So, how do you get eternal life? By being born again of the Spirit. By getting the Spirit of God in you, you have eternal life. Okay? Knowing them, the people who dwell in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is eternal life. The fact that they dwell in you is eternal life. It's a quality of life. It's God's kind of life. And that's who's in you. What we need to do is put our attention there on God's quality of life that's in us instead of putting ourselves that God's out there, I'm here, I need something from you. You're here, you're with me, it's true. Now I let go of everything else. It's true. So Jesus is going through all that, and then he talks about us being one with him and the Father in him. Now these are the disciples, and look what he says in verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. I used to just read over that and go, the Bible's true. The Bible's true. That's not what he's saying here. And I used to think, he's saying the Bible's true. They sanctify me by the Bible. Yes, but no. But yes, but no. Here it is. Here's what he's saying. He says, sanctify them by your truth. In other words, Lord, the truth that you are, your truth purifies me. Your truth, Lord, sanctifies me. The truth that you live by, Lord, makes me pure. By your truth, I'm pure. Your word is truth. The things that you say are truth. What you say, God, is truth. I'm trying to reword this and re-say this as many times. The Spirit of truth is the Spirit of God, whose words are true. His truth is what makes me pure. Not how I act. His truth purifies me. Jesus says, you're clean by the words I spoke to you, made you purified, made you clean. God's words purify us. God said we are clean. By his Spirit, we are sanctified. Because his Spirit's in us, no more disqualifications, no more disabilities, no more ways of being kicked out of heaven. Nothing. It's too late. The Spirit of God's in us. There's nothing you can do about it. You're in for eternity in the presence of God. Too bad. It's already done. You're going to be forever in the glory of God. So guess what? It's time to just let that be true. His word is truth. His truth has sanctified us. And when we let that truth really be grounded in our heart, then by his Spirit, when we pray for people, we will see results. When we speak to people, it's no longer going to be our own words that we speak. It's going to be from the Spirit of God, we're going to set people free. Amen?
Amen.
If we find ourselves at a place where we start judging people, stereotyping people, being offended by people, what we need to do is find our mind again, because we just lost our mind. And we need our mind, which is the mind of Christ, who makes his home in me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And I need to regain my mind. In other words, I got to get back in the presence of God.
Amen.
Right? If I'm in a relationship with somebody of the opposite sex, and I've made my vows to them to love, honor, and cherish till death do us part, and they start doing things that start letting me get all twisted up in knots, what I need to do is get with the Lord and let him stabilize me again, get my thoughts purified again so that I can start seeing them the way Christ sees them, that I would see things the way the Father sees them. Why? Because the way he sees it is the truth. The way he speaks over it is the truth. I want to show you one more thing and then we'll be done. Are you with me still? Got it. I want to explain something with you. When God talks about being in the world, that word is cosmos. Are you familiar with that word? It's cosmos. It means this world. Okay? This world, cosmos, it actually means an orderly arrangement. Right? Like the planets in a solar system, they're orderly arranged going around one another. They don't bump into each other, right? And the different stars and the galaxies and the weather and everything's an arrangement from God. It's a very orderly arrangement. We're thankful that it continues the way it started out to, right? And it isn't broken, so we stay alive on this planet. It's an orderly arrangement in this world. It also means decoration. It's the decoration. It's not what's real. When we take the Christmas tree, I'm not going to go on whether you believe in Christmas or trees or any, don't. I'm just making it a cheap example. A Christmas tree is an alive tree, right? And we take this alive tree and we put decorations on it, right? For a season or a festive, bulbs and lights and different things. That's all adorning that tree. That's all the decoration. The life is not in the decorations. Hear me. The life is not in the decorations. The life is in what the decorations are hung on. Are you with me? The life is not in anything that's created that you can name. The life is in God, in Christ Jesus. The invisible God is where our life is. We don't look at things that are seen, but things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, right? We want the eternal things. And we don't want to be unclothed, like it says in Corinthians, but we want to be further clothed that life would swallow up mortality. Me paraphrasing, right? That the glory of God would just exude out of us and we'd walk as new creations in Christ. With me? So the cosmos or this creation is not what's real. We're above that if we'll start operating by that in the Spirit. Amen? So here's the last thing. Look what Pilate said to Jesus in verse, let me just go up to verse 35 and start there. You know, Jesus is there before Pilate and just says, Jesus, chapter 18, still in John. Chapter 18, starting in verse 36, going to 38. Coming into the middle of this, this is when Jesus is standing before Pilate. And Jesus answered, "The kingdom is not of this, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." If his kingdom's not from here, where's your kingdom? It's not from here if you're in him, is it? Your kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. You're in this temporary arrangement, this adorning, these decorations in right now, bringing people into the eternal kingdom by being a witness, a light to them of the truth. Are you with me? And Jesus says in verse 38, or let me just read 37. Pilate therefore says to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Look at this. Pilate says to him, "What is truth?" Listen, in the decoration, you can't find the truth. In the adorning and the orderly arrangement of this world, you cannot find the truth. Why? Because the truth is in God. God is the truth. He is what, once you get rid of everything that's created, God remains. All things are created in Him. So we live from Him in this world. Thereby, when we really believe that and let that seep down in our hearts and let those roots grow deep and let that relationship with Him prosper, then we start seeing more results of people getting healed. Then we start having faith for miracles. Then telling the storms to go to the left or to the right is not quite such a big deal. Then if you need to walk on water, your faith will be there to do that, because we start grooming that relationship with Him, the eternal God who's outside of this decoration. Are you with me? Amen.